evening with Johnny and Friends dinner with some 260 people from all over the place with us that evening, Methodists and Episcopal folks and Christian church people and a lot of Baptists, a lot of visitors, and a few Assemblies of God people thrown in there. We had a delightful time together, and I just wish all of you could have been with us yesterday in our noon luncheon. We had about 45 to 50 members of the disabled community in and around Springfield, as far away as from Bolivar, and our friends from Bolivar are here this morning, gather together and just spend about 3 hours with Johnny and Ken and their team just interacting, a phenomenal afternoon to watch the relationships being built. We're delighted to see you here this morning to help welcome Johnny Erickson Tata and her husband Ken and their team and their ministry to Central Assembly. Deborah and I had the opportunity to meet Johnny in her office several years ago while we were still with World Missions. And there's a lot that I could say about this incredible lady. Many of you already know most of the biographical information, but after about 5 minutes in her office, I came away with one impression, and that same impression has held through to this very day. This is one of the most authentic, genuine, real Christian women you will ever want to meet in your life. All of the accomplishments that she has pursued, writing over 50 books, an incredible painter holding the brush between her teeth, an impeccable orator and speaker, great communicator in any description by anybody's standard. Above and beyond all of that, she is so real and so genuine and so authentic and so very approachable. And her husband, Ken, is just like her. And the ladies that are traveling with her are just like her. It's just been a delight to have them this weekend. And I know that you're going to be blessed by a wonderful woman of God as she shares with us a message from God for us. We're going to watch just a very brief introductory video. And as it concludes, would you please help me welcome Johnny Erickson Tata to Central Assembly.
I was 17 years old, athletic, took a dive, and bang, I can't use my hands, I can't move, my legs, everything's paralyzed. I'm a quadriplegic. The doctor announced that I had severed my spinal cord at the fourth cervical level, that I'd never use my hands or my legs for the rest of my life, and he walked out of the door. I can't live like this, and I just sank into depression. A Christian friend shared with me, Johnny, God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. I realized God takes no pleasure in my spinal cord injury, but he loves the way he is changing me in it and encouraging others through it. Psalm 10 says that God hears the cry of the afflicted. His heart goes out to those with disabilities. He is filled with compassion for those with special needs. I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. I'm a Christian, author, speaker, advocate, painter. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I do all those things. But I do them because I want people to know the God that I love. I would not trade this intimacy with God, this sweetness, this nearness, this tenderness, this preciousness of faith come alive in my life. I wouldn't trade it for any amount of walking. There are 1 billion people with disabilities in the world, 80% of whom live in developing nations. That is, to me, overwhelming. I want to do everything I can to make a difference in their lives. I think God is using people with disabilities to wake up the church. God is up to something big.
Este es mi libro, mi historia. Sí, en este libro.
Outwardly, our bodies are wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day.
It looks as though the foot pedals need to come up just a little bit.
Certainly.
My husband Ken and I love doing Johnny and Friends together. Whether it's going to a family retreat and hanging out with other couples, whether it's delivering wheelchairs and Bibles.
Is a Bible in the Spanish language?
Yeah, más importante es una Biblia.
We want to get the word out. God has not abandoned those with disabilities, no. He is working through them. God's power always shows up best through weakness. The Bible says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of the weak and the needy. And we do that at Johnny and Friends. Through our Christian Institute on Disability, we are advocates. We are championing the disabled, whether it's right to life, end of life issues, physician assisted suicide, euthanasia. We speak God's truth. Johnny and Friends stands for the spark that started the movement to take the gospel where the world is bleeding out of control. I want to be there. I've got a message to share. I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing him than on my feet without him. And that is worth living for. And I just bet part of that applause was for my husband, Ken. We've been married 33 years. Isn't he awesome? Oh, my goodness. I want to thank Pastor Tom. What awesome worship. You friends here at Central Assembly, my goodness, you are so blessed with such awesome worship music. Thank you so much for that. Yes. And Pastor Jeff and Pastor Mike and Don and all the rest who have made us feel so warm, so welcomed, especially on this happy Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday, everyone. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest to Christ our King. I'm feeling a little bit weak this morning. I'm a quadriplegic. I've been like this for 47 years. The lungs don't work real well. So would you pray with me real quickly that God's power will show up best in my weakness, would you? Oh, Jesus, I present to you my weakness. We all present to you our weaknesses this morning. We are so frail. We are so needy. We are in desperate requirement of your grace. Fill my lungs with your air, Lord Jesus, and fill the hearts of my friends this morning with your anointing, with your blessing, with your favor, and with your grace, we pray. In your name, amen. Amen. It was 20 years ago, almost exactly, in April of 1995, I just bet that you were doing what I was doing that morning. Our eyes were glued to the television set as we watched on CNN or Fox News, smoke billowing out of the side of a bombed-out federal office building in Oklahoma City. It was the first time someone had perpetrated a terrorist attack on our home soil, and all of us were unnerved. I was watching the television like you were when suddenly I got a phone call. It was from a pastor friend of mine in Oklahoma City asking if I would quickly come to town and be part of the pastoral counseling team to the families who were sequestered away in the American Red Cross Center. Well, I quickly hopped on a plane with my husband. We got into town, but before I could meet with the families, I had to first be fingerprinted and cleared and credentialed by the American Red Cross. I wheeled into this low, flat, red brick building. At that point, it was rather empty, except for a few volunteers setting up tables and putting out Cokes and coffee. And on the other end of the room, I saw a woman in an officious-looking white lab coat with a clipboard. And when she heard me come through the front door, she turned around, saw me, and exclaimed very loudly, "Oh my God, are we glad to see you here!" I did what you just did. I nervously laughed. She said, "Oh my God, who knows? She might be a Christian." And she seemed excited to see me, so maybe she read the book when she was 14 years old. I wheeled up to her, introduced myself, and learned that neither was true. She was a mental health counselor for the American Red Cross, and this is what she said to me.
when I asked her, why were you so excited when I wheeled into the building? She said, oh, sweetheart, you need to understand something. When people like you in your wheelchairs, or white canes or walkers, whatever, when you come into a place like this and there's a catastrophe or a disaster, people are nervous, people are anxious, people are fearful. But sweetheart, they see you sitting there in your wheelchair with that calm demeanor and that sweet smile, and it gives them courage. We need more people like you in here. Could you please tell us where we can go out and find more people like you to get you in here? The woman in the white lab coat probably never read Luke chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus says, when you give a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. No, but when you give a banquet, go out into the streets, the alleys, the highways, and the byways. Find the disabled, the lame, the blind, the poor. Bring them in, and you will be blessed. Not many places that Jesus is that specific about who he once invited into the kingdom, but of all the people we might overlook, don't overlook people for whom affliction is a way of life. Break out of the comfort zones of your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, and reach out to those that you don't often connect with. People with wheelchairs, white canes, and walkers. Somehow, the Red Cross official understood, you will be blessed. But how much more should the church be blessed, right? In embracing special needs families, because it means such a big blessing. And when I think of big blessings, at least in my life, I think of my friend with a disability. Her name was Carla Larson. Dear Carla. She had many disabilities, she did, and diabetes was at the root of it all. She had lost both of her legs. She had lost many of her fingers. She was legally blind, had half a kidney, had had serious heart attacks, severe edema, constant angioplasties, and when I went to one of our Johnny and Friends family retreats where she was going to attend, our ministry runs these retreats all across the U.S. for people with disabilities and their families, 5 days of hands-down, slam-dunk fun and fellowship. Well, when I saw that she was registered, and when I looked through all her various handicapping conditions, I thought to myself, I better go see this woman. Well, I found her, and I wheeled up to her, loved her smile. What a great lady. And I said to her, Carla, I read your registration and all the things you've lost. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you were able to make it. To which she replied, well, I thought I better come to family retreat before I lost any more body parts. She had such a good time at that family retreat, and she was such an inspiration, such an example of courage to us all, that when she went home, she wanted to write me a thank you note, and she did, except when it arrived in a package, and the note was attached, wrapped around the toe of one of her old prosthetic legs. And the note on the toe read, Dear Johnny, since all of me cannot be with all of you all of the time, part of me will have to do. Carla had lost many things, but she had not lost her sense of humor. And you know, when I think of Carla, I think of Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In everything, set them an example. Set them an example. Carla understood the power of example. She inspired courage in people just by showing up, just by getting up in the morning, just by facing the day and arriving. It's a little like that movie, Braveheart. Remember that movie? That scene right before the Battle of Stirling, when the Scots were despairing because of the size of the English army. Fear and intimidation looked to win before anybody had even struck a blow on the battlefield. But then suddenly Wallace and his band of men on horseback ride up from the rear with their faces painted blue, and simply the act of them showing up, simply the act of them arriving, gives heart to the Scots. They take the field and win the day. It only takes one person. One person to encourage others to, quote, win the day. It only takes one to encourage a great many others for the good. And I know when I feel overwhelmed with my quadriplegia, I think about Carla and how she inspires me to continue on. She helps me to want to, quote, win the day when it comes to facing my own battles. That's because courage always breeds courage in others. People who suffer greater conflict always have something inspiring to say to those who suffer lesser conflict. And Carla could probably make her life verse 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, where it says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation, which produces in you patient endurance of the same kinds of sufferings that we suffer. But not all of us welcome those sufferings, do we? No, we don't. So many of us, myself included, wish we could erase suffering out of the Christian's dictionary. And perhaps that's why some people walked wide circles around Carla's wheelchair. We politely avoid people for whom suffering is a way of life. Sometimes their hardships only remind us of our own hardships, our own weaknesses and afflictions. When it comes to suffering, most of us would rather medicate it, remove it, escape it, surgically exorcise it, divorce it, institutionalize, drug it, do anything but live with it. And I understand that. I get that. I resonate with that. I can't begin to tell you how many times I have pleaded with God to heal me. I used to be such a regular attender at healing crusades. Honestly, I did. I don't know how many of you remember Catherine Kuhlman. Anybody here remember? Okay, she was like the Benny Hinn of her day. And I went to so many of her healing crusades. I lived in Baltimore, Maryland at the time, and if it was in Pittsburgh, if it was in Washington, if it was in Philadelphia, if it was in Richmond, Virginia, I was there. And I was always in the wheelchair section. But it seemed that when the spotlight turned to healings, or at least it seemed that healings were occurring over in the corner of the ballroom, the spotlight never made it to the wheelchair section. And I always felt like yelling, Holy Spirit, come over here where all the hard cases are. But I always went home a little disappointed. I remember thinking, after the last crusade I attended, what kind of savior, what kind of deliverer, what kind of healer would refuse the prayer of a paralytic? Okay, I thought, if I can't be healed, then I'm just not going to do this. I'm not going to live this way. I could care less about influencing others for good. I could care less about courageous spirits. I could care less. I hate this wheelchair. Those were terrible days. Days when I would ask my sister JK to leave me in bed, close the bedroom drapes, turn out the light, and shut the door. And for weeks, I would lay in that dark bedroom, basically feeling sorry for myself. But finally, the self-pity began to so shrink and shrivel my soul that I just had to do something. I felt so claustrophobic, so suffocated. You could only live in that kind of despair for so long. And finally, I cried out, oh God, I can't live this way. Please, you show me how to live. And after that, on mornings, my sister would come into the bedroom and draw the drapes, turn on the light, give me my bed bath, do my toileting routines, get me dressed, sit me up in the wheelchair. And she wheeled me into the living room where she parked my wheelchair in front of a music stand much like this. And on it, she would plop my Bible. And she put in my mouth stick. It was what I had used when I was in the rehab center learning how to type with my mouth. And I would sit there in front of that Bible, flipping this way and that, trying to make sense of it all. Of course, I was still interested in what the Bible had to say about healing. And I found out in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, there Jesus is performing all kinds of healings all throughout the day and long past sunset. Next morning, the crowds return. Simon and his companions search for Jesus, but he's nowhere to be found. He had gotten up early and had gone off to a solitary place to pray. Finally, they find him and tell him about this crowd of suffering, sick, diseased, disabled people at the bottom of the hill, all looking to be healed. But Jesus, in the 38th verse, replies this way. He says, now listen to this, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, where I can preach there also, for this is why I have come." Jesus, turning away diseased and disabled people looking for healing, people like me. But when I read that 38th verse, that's when it hit me. It's not that Jesus did not care about all those people at the bottom of the hill. It's just that their physical problems weren't the main focus. The gospel was. The gospel that says, sin kills, hell is real, but God is merciful, his kingdom can change you, and Christ is your passport. And whenever people missed that point, whenever they missed it, whenever they only came to Jesus just to have their pains and their problems fixed, the Savior would back away. No wonder I had been so depressed. No wonder I was mainly into Jesus to get my problems fixed, to get my paralysis fixed. Yes, Jesus cares about suffering people, and he spent most of his time on earth relieving suffering. But the Gospel of Mark showed me his priorities, because the same man who healed blind eyes and cured withered hands also said, if that eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If that hand leads you astray, cut it off. Suddenly I got the picture. To me, physical healing had always been the big deal. But to Jesus, the condition of my soul was a much bigger deal. And I began to understand God's deeper, far deeper kind of healing. A Psalm 139 type of healing that says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me, try me, and see if there be any offensive way in me. No, we don't like affliction. No, we find it challenging. Yes, we want to erase it out of the Christian dictionary. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. To this you were called. To this I have been called. And if Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, as it says of him in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, are any of us above his master, our master? Of course not. And I think this is why God delights in putting people like Carla Larson in the midst of our congregations. If we feel timid or fearful about, quote, daily picking up our cross and following him, then we have her example, their example of courage to inspire us and cheer us on. We look at Carla and those like her, and we are forced to think if God's grace can sustain, oh my goodness, if God's grace can sustain a woman with half a kidney and a weak heart with no legs, legally blind, or if God's grace can sustain a quadriplegic like me who used to hate her wheelchair, but now smiles, not in spite of the problems, but because of them. Then we all ought to be boasting in our afflictions. We all ought to be glorying in our limitations. We all ought to be delighting in our infirmities, because then we know Christ's power rests on us. Yes, suffering and disease and disability help us recognize our desperate need of Jesus. And I think that's why I'm so grateful for this wheelchair. There are so many mornings I wake up, honestly, most mornings, and while my head is still on the pillow and my eyes are closed, my husband is off running errands, and I can hear my friends in the kitchen running water for coffee, and I know that they're going to come into my bedroom in a moment, and they're going to give me a bed bath, do my exercise routines, help me with my toileting routines, pull up my support hose, strap on my corset, pull up my pants, get me dressed, sit me in my wheelchair, push me to the bathroom, brush my teeth, brush my hair, blow my nose, and I'm lying with my head on the pillow thinking, and my eyes aren't even open, and I'm thinking, oh God, I don't think I can face this day. I don't think I have the strength for this day. I have no resources for this day. I have no energy for this day. But you do. You've got energy. You've got resources. You've got strength. I can't do quadriplegia, but I can do all things through you as you strengthen me. I have no smile for this woman who's going to come into my bedroom in a moment to help me get up, but you have a smile. Please, Jesus, may I borrow your smile? And you know what? He gives it. Miraculously, by 7:35 in the morning, I've got a smile sent straight from heaven. And it's been hard fought for and hard won. I remember when I was with our ministry at Johnny and Friends delivering wheelchairs in Ghana. Our ministry, Wheels for the World, collects wheelchairs across the country, and we refurbish them in 17 different prisons, and inmates shape up the wheelchairs to make them look like new, and then we take Christian physical therapists and occupational therapists to travel with us to developing nations, where we perfectly hand-fit those wheelchairs to children and adults with disabilities. We give them Bibles. We give them disability ministry training. We lead them to Christ. We connect them with caring churches. And one time when I was in Africa with our Wheels for the World team, there was a man with polio who came into the wheelchair distribution, and he was dragging his legs behind him, wearing his shoes on his hands, and crawling across the concrete floor. But when he saw me, he recognized me, and he leaned back on his haunches, and he spread his arms wide and said, "Oh, Johnny, welcome to our country, where God is so much bigger. And he is bigger because we need him more." I tell you what, waking up in the morning as a quadriplegic is hard, but it makes me need God more. And I think that's the biblical way to wake up in the morning. That's the Christian way to wake up in the morning. That's the only way to wake up in the morning, needing Jesus desperately. Little wonder Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, blessed are you when you come to Jesus in empty-handed spiritual poverty, for then you know his strength is yours. And you know, maybe the really handicapped people, maybe the really handicapped ones are those who, when their alarm clock goes off in the morning, they throw back the covers, jump out of bed, take a quick shower, scarf down breakfast, perhaps give God a speedy tip of the hat of a quiet time for maybe 5 minutes, and then they're zooming out the front door on automatic cruise control. Did you know that if you live life like that as a Christian, God resists you? James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud. He resists the proud. He's against the proud. Who are the proud? Well, the proud are Christians who realize that they accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord, oh, maybe 10, 20, 15, perhaps 30 years ago. But they've been to enough Bible studies, and they've kind of got the lay of the land. And when they wake up in the morning, they pretty much say to God, "You know, Lord, I promise I won't do anything to smear your reputation today. I won't do anything to stain your good name. But I kind of understand this Christian walk thing. So I tell you what, I got it from here. But if I have any needs, I'll check in with you." If we live like that, like life like that, God opposes us. He resists us. But he gives grace to the humble. And who are the humble? The humble are people like you and me who simply recognize our daily need of Jesus. Oh, we need Jesus. Friend, God has removed the only kind of suffering that can ever really hurt you. He's already done that. He did that at Calvary. He has removed from you the only kind of suffering that can ever harm you. And that means from here on out, whatever suffering comes your way has been designed by God to make your soul courageous, to make your soul great, to stretch your soul's capacity for him and help you see your desperate requirement and need of him every single day. Suffering is the textbook that'll teach you who you really are. It'll sandblast you, it'll strip you of your sinful ways, squeezing you like a lemon, and out comes a complaining spirit or a peevish disposition or a sour attitude or resentment against the Lord or irritation with your family or friends. Sometimes God will squeeze that lemon harder and more ugly things will come out, but then you can say, "Search me, O God. You're testing me, you're trying me, and I can see the offensive ways that are in me." We are all not the paragons of virtue that we would like to think we are. And suffering proves it. It proves it. Leaving our souls often raw and exposed, but then we can be better bonded to our Savior. Carla knew that. She was, as 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, but yet possessing everything. Her diabetes, with all its complications, required her to lean hard on the Lord Jesus. And in so doing, she discovered that her Savior was ecstasy beyond compare. And it is worth anything to be his friend. Any amount of diabetes, any amount of quadriplegia, any amount of spinal cord injury, any amount of hardship or affliction. It is worth anything to be God's friend, no matter what the suffering. And we can always go to a God who totally understands it, who gets it, who resonates with it. Oh my goodness. When they hang you on a cross like meat on a hook, you've got the last word on suffering. God wrote the book on it, and he called it Jesus. And I'm so grateful, so glad that I have a Savior who's been tempted and tested and tried in every way like me, and who overcame his suffering so that he might give me the grace to smile. Not in spite of the problems, but because of them, because they drive me to him. A few years ago, Carla hit the limit on losing body parts. She had no more to give. And so, bless her heart, she went home to be with Jesus. But you should know that at her Assemblies of God Church in Rockford, Illinois, at that memorial service, more than 350 people showed up. They turned out to honor her incredible life. The people in her congregation understood what a precious, valuable member of the body of Christ she was. Carla confirmed the power and reality of Luke chapter 14, the scripture that we began with. It is clear that her church was blessed. And that's why they went out and found the disabled and brought them in. I can't wait for the day when disabilities won't have to be a part of the body of Christ. It'll be a glorious day when we all go to heaven and Jesus will close the curtain on sin and suffering and Satan and we'll receive our new glorified bodies. I tell you what, though, I'm mostly looking forward to the glorified heart. The glorified heart. I'm so tired of having my lemon squeezed and seeing all these ugly things in myself that keep coming out every time I've got a chronic pain in my hip or my neck hurts or I'm sitting askew in my wheelchair and I'm uncomfortable and I start whining and I can't wait to have a new heart. Oh, gee, that's going to be so awesome. But with that new heart and with my new body, I do hope that I can bring my wheelchair to heaven with me. I know that's not theologically correct, Pastor Jeff. Won't find that in the Bible. But if I could, I would. And I'd put it right over there. And I'd be standing strong and tall with my new body. And I will turn to Jesus, my Savior. And when I hold his hand, I will feel the nail scars in his. And I know he will recognize me from communing with him in the inner sanctum of fellowshipping with his suffering. He'll recognize me because I was the one who came to him every single morning hemorrhaging human strength. I need divine unction. He'll recognize me. And that means that when I say, "Thank you, Jesus, for your grace," he'll know I mean it. And I will say to him, "Jesus, do you see that wheelchair? Well, you were right when you said that in this world we would have trouble. That thing was a lot of trouble. But Jesus, the weaker I was in that wheelchair, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. Oh my goodness, Jesus. That wheelchair was such a bruising of a blessing. It was a blessing, but it was a bruising of a blessing. It was a friend, a dark, strange friend, but it was a friend nonetheless because it drove me into your arms every day. And now, Jesus, if you want, you can send that thing to hell. Yeah. I think people like me with disabilities are the best audiovisual aids for God's grace showing up best in weakness for the church. Disability ministry to people like me provides the platform on which God can display his power. Disability ministry, embracing special needs families, single mothers with special needs kids, reminds us that not all problems can be fixed. Not all problems can be solved or healed. Disability ministry shows us that God is interested in the deeper healing. Disability ministry shows that God shares his joy on his terms. And those terms call for us to, in some measure, suffer as his son suffered when he walked on earth. Disability ministry shows us that when you follow in Christ's steps, you discover joy that is deep and profound, unshakable peace that is real and solid, and a soul that is content and settled. And disability ministry is happening within the Assemblies of God Church. I'm thinking of Reverend Darrell and Donald Kenworthy, who head up the Special Grace Ministries. They're affiliated ministry with the Northern California Nevada District of the Assemblies of God. They care about the Carla Larsons and their communities. And it's what disability ministry should look like. So I encourage you, friends, to get involved. Get engaged. At Johnny and Friends, we stand ready to not only help this church, but all Assemblies of God churches, like the church that Carla attended up in Rockford, Illinois, with resources and training. And you can find out more about it at johnnyandfriends.org. It's what disability ministry looks like. And if a woman in a Red Cross lab coat can get the picture, so can we. And you don't have to break your neck to do it. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You may be seated. I love to use this really big word, wow. Doesn't that speak to your heart this morning? You know, it may not have impressed you much yesterday when Pastor Don mentioned earlier that there were about 30 to 40 people, I believe it was, in our chapel for lunch. But it's because Johnny specifically said, I only want about 30 to 40 people and their caregiver to be with them. And she just poured hours into them. Phenomenal afternoon. And that's the heart. And it's not to lift up Johnny today. And as well, I hope all of us here realize that she does not want our pity. She doesn't want our pity. She doesn't want our praise today. She wants everyone here to know the reason, the strength, the forbearance, everything that she has lived her life with is because of one person. It's not her husband, as wonderful as Ken is, but it's Jesus Christ. And everywhere she's gone now for decades, I didn't want to age myself or her, but Friday night at the banquet when we talked just briefly, I just remember as a teenager, upper teen or so, reading her story for the first time and hearing her speak for the first time. She's been at this a long time because I'm not exactly young, okay? And she's been faithful, and she has brought the message to millions of people. And I'm so glad that you were here today to hear her, but you heard it, and she made it very evident, very clear throughout all of her message this morning that it's really not about her, and it's really not about the physical, but it's about the spiritual that matters. And she talked about that moment. That captured me with Jesus. And I've often looked at that. And years ago, I wrestled with that. How could he leave one city to go to another when he leaves so much need behind? But it was always because Jesus, his main agenda was to preach the gospel, to let people know why he came. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. For what? In a physical way? No, in a spiritual way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, perfect, sinless, a man tempted as we are. What Easter is all about, what this week of Passion is all about, what's going to be on CNN and in different specials all throughout the week, it's going to be questioning things. But as for us as a church, and Christian churches all over America and around the world today, it's that we believe him as the Son of God. He came for one main reason, and that is that he came to give his life to die for our sins. And I don't know about you today, but I sat there this morning. What kept coming back to my mind is how selfish a culture we have become and how self-centered, and I'm with it, and we share in that, but we're so very blessed. We're prosperous financially. We expect an education. We expect and demand of so many things in our life, and when anything, runny nose, whatever it is, we just expect somehow that ought to be able to be removed out of our lives. When Johnny comes with a little different message this morning, and that message is that, you know, life doesn't always just work out that way, but it's because really life is not so much about this life. Life is about the life to come. And that's what Jesus came for. That's why he came today. And if there'd be one or two or three or five or 10 or 20 people here this morning, that in your heart you are living life so much for here and you want everything to be perfect here and your perfect little house, your perfect little marriage, your perfect little relationship, your perfect little children, and you get a bump along the road and then all of a sudden it just throws you so far off. The answer for that has to only be found in God, only in Jesus. That's why when we look at our world today, we are hopeless as a nation without Jesus Christ. We are so far gone because our priorities are off. What we focus on is so off. We need to focus on Jesus today. I know it's totally uncool and just not in today in the church, but right near the end, an old song that I grew up on as a child just came to my mind, and I'd like us to sing it, and some of you will know it, and a lot of our younger generation won't know it, but I tell you what, it's worth singing, as so many, we dispose of a lot of songs we ought to hang on to. And this one simply says this. Would you sing it with me? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Let's sing that now one more time. I want to sing it again, and as we do, I know we can just kind of sing through words. This is really a theologically really strong song. Okay, this is Romans 8. I read a verse that just ties right into it earlier. Didn't mean to, but it does perfectly today. Would you sing it? Look at the words and mean it from your heart today, okay? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see. And everybody said amen today. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to close in a prayer in just a moment as well. We're going to receive an offering for Johnny because we need to bless her and her ministry today. And you may want to begin to think in your mind and prepare. What a lady to invest in. Friday night, we saw the wheelchair ministries all around the world. It is phenomenal. Guys in prison here and gals in the U.S. putting these together. And I had no idea. They've reached 100,000 wheelchairs around the world. And their goal is 100,000 by year 2020. So we could invest today. So I want you to prepare for that. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to say, especially the young that are here today, the older you get in life, the more you see suffering and you begin to accept it and either figure it out or just become embittered. There's really some choices we make. But if you're here and you're young today, just to say you have no guarantee of tomorrow, and that's not to in any way play upon Johnny's situation, but to say as a 17-year-old young lady, life changed for her. And you've heard today it very clearly. If it wasn't for Jesus, where would Johnny Erickson Tata be? If it wasn't for Jesus. It's true for all of us, though, here today. And we all have need. And if you're here this morning, I'd like to pray a prayer that if you were here and you say, Jeff, I'm really living life for myself, and I'm living life very focused upon the now and the here and just focused upon earth so much that I don't really think much about heaven. It's too pie in the sky for me. I'm too much of a pragmatist. Today, could I invite you to consider eternity? And to consider the message Johnny gave and to consider the gospel she gave. And it is what this coming week is about. Around the world, it will be celebrated by the Christian faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. My sins, your sins, Johnny's sins. And could I invite you to pray a prayer today to receive Christ into your heart? To make a decision today, whether you're young, old, doesn't matter, your circumstance doesn't matter. All that matters is that you have a living soul that God placed within you. And I personally believe with all my heart that He placed it there so you would relate with Him. He wants you to know Him today. And Johnny referred to that so many times, how glad she is to know Jesus, to know God. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's just a simple prayer really based upon Scripture. to put your faith and your trust in him, to ask him to forgive you of your sins. Today could be the most life-changing day of your life, as it was for Johnny years ago. Can I invite you to do it? Would you pray with me? As a church, we customarily just pray this out loud together. I'm going to ask you to do that. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you for Johnny, for touching my heart today. Thank you for the way she's lived her life. She's overcome great trials, and I face my own. But thank you that she pointed me to you, Jesus. I acknowledge my sin, my selfishness, my missed priorities. But I believe now, and I put my faith now in Jesus Christ, your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Change me now from the inside out. I give my life to you, Lord. Help me to serve you every day for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward in just a moment. And the prayer team, would you come as they do? Prayer team, would you just come and be in your place across the front? If you just prayed that prayer, in a moment, again, we'll end the service and look forward to tonight. But if you have a prayer need, as the service ends, a lot of people flow that direction and out to the parking lots. But if you either just committed your life to Christ, recommitted your life to him, or maybe there's just something in your life, you just say, I need prayer this morning. The prayer team's here, and this is their ministry, and they just love to pray with people, and they'd love to pray with you. And so feel free to slip forward in just a moment as we will conclude. But we'd like to receive this offering, and in its entirety, this goes to meet the expenses of this weekend, to bless Johnny. We want her to go home blessed and her team. And if you knew what goes into, as we discovered, her even being here at 10 o'clock in the morning is amazing. That's why she, quite honestly, could not make 9 o'clock. What sacrifice, and what a great team that she has to travel with. So we want to bless all of them and give them today. And I'd like to ask all of you just to do something. All that you can would be great. And we want them to leave full and blessed from Central Assembly. And if you think that's good, say amen. Amen. We want them to be blessed by us. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful morning. And we knew in our hearts it would be a historic day for us, Lord. Just a beautiful day that this lady would touch our hearts. And God, thank you for Johnny. Thank you for her perseverance. I thank you, God, for her faithfulness. We can only imagine those mornings that she's described with humor today, Lord. But I'm sure many of them, they're just not funny, God. But she gets up and she faces every day, Lord. May she inspire our hearts. May we leave here committed to persevere ourselves through whatever our trials may be. But also, Lord, as we receive this offering, I pray, God, that we would bless Johnny and her team, and that Central will invest into their ministry now, God, in a significant way, Lord. Help us. May we be generous, and may we keep her, be a part of what's keeping her going, Lord, as she travels and has such a wonderful ministry, God. We bless her now, and we bless her through this offering. In Jesus' name. And again, everyone said amen this morning. Amen. Just before we will close, I want to mention a couple things. First of all, tonight is going to be very special. The choir has been working for weeks on many inspirational kind of songs, much like we heard this morning. This tonight will just lift your heart and your spirit. And I'd encourage you this afternoon to invite someone to come out tonight. It'll be 6 o'clock. Johnny's going to share a very short portion. It's kind of our gift to her, but also she'll be spotlighted, and she's going to tell a little bit about what music has done for Johnny. Many of you don't know it. She's incredibly musical, has sung for years. Now her health somewhat prohibits that. She may sing tonight. If she doesn't, We're going to be thrilled to have her here anyway, but gifted lady musically, written a lot of songs. One of her songs was up for a Grammy Award just a few years ago, so she is a very gifted lady, and so tonight will be a night of music. Encourage you to invite someone. And then this week, we've been talking about suffering, and on Wednesday night, our Wednesday night Bible study will be a beautiful night. We're going to take communion together, and we're going to celebrate this week of the Lord's Passion Wednesday night. And then on Friday night is our Friday night of Service of Shadows. It's the fourth year that we've done this. It's a very unique night of coming very quietly, very soberly, remembering our Lord's cross, and then we will leave here in silence. It's been done now for centuries, and we at Central have a very special night of worship Friday night. We'd love to have you be here Friday night. And then again, of course, next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 10:30, we will celebrate that Jesus is alive, and we saw that this morning, amen, in an incredible way through Johnny's testimony. So let's stand together, if you would, and we say God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, please come forward. By the way, I do want to mention one thing that I almost forgot. This week, I believe it was on Saturday, yesterday's newspaper, Friday morning's newspaper, one of our pastors who took an amazing stand, John Lindell out at James River Assembly, John came under great fire, and he preached one of the most phenomenal, it was a classic message on a biblical view of sexuality I've ever heard in my life about 2 weeks ago. I would encourage you to go to their podcast, listen to John's message, and again want to remind you with no confusion regarding the issue number one on the ballot here in just a couple of weeks, but it is to vote yes to repeal. There was some confusion in that. I've talked about this the last couple weeks. I want to remind you, encourage you to talk to people about it, but that is to vote yes to repeal, okay? We want to see that ordinance repealed here in Springfield. God bless you as you go today. If you need prayer, please come forward, and we'll see you tonight. Bless you.